Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today, we're going to talk to my longtime client and friend, Jeffrey Johns, founder and president of Coastal Greenery in Brunswick, Georgia, one of the most successful landscaping companies in the Southeast. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since fall golf. This past weekend was a really nice and cool Saturday and Sunday in Dayton, Ohio. When I teed off at 9 a.m. on Saturday, it was 55 degrees. I had on my long, nice golf pants, my quarter zip, and I walked carrying my clubs. It was glorious. Love fall golf in Ohio. Whether it's golf, a walk, a Georgia Bulldogs football game, Jeffrey, or a soccer game, get outside this fall and enjoy all the wonders that nature provides. If you play golf, pack your Steel weed eater in your bag like I do, and you'll never have a bad lie. I'm kidding. Maybe not. Now on to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Jeffrey, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing great, Marty. Thanks.
Well, I know you got a storm bearing down on you. You've already been one. It's a lot of activity. Prayers to all those folks in the Southeast that are dealing with stuff that's just really, really tough. Let's talk a little bit about how you and I met. We first hosted Grow. It was called a boot camp. It was about 30 years ago, and you were one of the unsuspecting folks that showed up at that very first one. Did you know what you were getting into at that point?
Absolutely not. Craziest thing in the world. You know, we all of us want to seek out help, or I did rather back in the day. And I saw this ad in one of the, I don't know what publication it was. And there's Marty Grunder in his red pickup. And anyway, I responded to it, hopped on a plane, flew to Ohio. And I think I was number 7 of 8 people that showed up.
Yeah. Well, and it was fun. I need to show you. Hopefully I can find that picture and we can put it in the YouTube version of me and you. I got my arm around you like we're best friends out in front of the Dayton Convention Center. And it's, you've been a great client. I consider you a friend. Last year in the Legacy Ace group, we went to Italy. You and Misty were with Lisa and I. We had a blast. Our daughters both got married on September the 21st. So I know what song they played at her wedding. And I know the Earth, Wind, and Fire song that was played at ours. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, Jeffrey, because I know that's very, very important to you.
Oh, yeah. Families is the reason we do what we do, or at least for me, it is. So, yeah, my wife, Misty, who has been a college sweetheart of mine. We've been together now for, 30 plus years, and she's phenomenal. I mean, Misty and I get in college, post-college. She's a school teacher by education and pursued that. And then, you know, great mother and wife to me. She keeps me in check, keeps me in line, and all. She and I really have a great thing going. We complement one another in our strengths, and everything that we do as a team. So Misty's been phenomenal for me. We also have 3 kids. Like you just mentioned, my daughter Emily got married a couple weeks ago, and she is married a great guy. We couldn't ask for anyone better to be with her. And she's a school teacher, 4th grade school teacher in our local community. So her and her husband are doing phenomenal. And then we have 2 sons. They're actually twins, and they're 26 years old. And believe it or not, and I could tell you a little more of that if anyone's interested, but they're working at the company now.
Well, I'd like to know. Tell us what they're doing. Yeah. We'll get into more of that here in a second.
Yeah. So Jacob and Joshua. They're our twin boys, and probably like you did, I did, Marty, growing up, we cut grass, and they just had the opportunity to do it here at Coastal Greenery. So growing up, them two have dug plenty of holes, mowed tons of grass, even run crews over the years. And when they decided to go off to college and whatnot, never in a million years did I want or wish for them to come back at our company.
Why?
And work.
Why? Why did you not?
I don't
want
know.
Them
I wanted
to?
Them to pursue their dreams.
Yeah, and see, I can relate.
Greenery,
yeah.
Coastal Greenery is my dream. It's what I wanted to pursue, and I wanted them to have that same opportunity. And they went off to school, UGA, University of Georgia, and you know, it's crazy because they both started when they graduated. They both showed interest in wanting to come back to the family business. And I remember those conversations, and I was doing everything I could, Marty, to persuade them elsewhere. And it just wasn't going to work. And they wanted to come back, and they did. And Jacob is our controller now. He pursued financial and accounting in college, got his master's of accounting, and he's our controller, doing a phenomenal job carrying us to the, you know, just in the financial realm of our business and, you know, our budgets and our measurements and tracking and everything that we do. He's doing a phenomenal job with his team. And our other son, Joshua, he got a degree in business management, and he's here. He is actually now one of our branch managers of one of our three locations that we have. And he's in the middle of doing that. Running a branch operation. He's also, you know, going to UGA, getting his MBA.
And, oh my gosh, I did not know he was doing that. Holy smokes.
Yep. So our kids are great. Me and Misty just have got a phenomenal family, and I'm very blessed in what I have.
You are. But you started that business from nothing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you started? Because the story, while it's incredible, it's not a whole lot different than my story. And it's probably not a lot different than folks. We have a lot of younger folks, Jeffrey, you and I are 56 years old. There's a lot of younger folks that listen to The Grow Show Powered by Steel that are in their 20s. I want them to hear how you started. Tell us.
Yeah. So like you said, Marty, like all of us, I started at a young age. And Marty, you talking about God looking after me. I found my passion at an early age. I mean, I really did. And my mom and dad, very hardworking people, they never asked me to cut the grass. I never had a list of chores to go do. We just had a high work ethic in our family, and that's just something we did. But cutting grass, I loved it. And from fifth, sixth grade, I mean, I loved everything about it. I loved the way that the stripes looked in the turf.
Yeah,
I loved the way that the beds were neatly edged and trimmed. I wasn't scared to prune plants. I mean, I was very confident in landscaping. It gave me this satisfaction that nothing else was doing at that age. And I remember when I was in the eighth grade, you certainly get family members and neighbors. And I was just very confident in it. Loved it, did it, pursued it. And my mom went and traded. You're talking about a great family. My mom went and traded her vehicle in and got a van, 40 Econoline van. And she let me put my lawn equipment in the back of that van.
I never heard this. This is incredible.
I put that lawn equipment in the back of that van. And when she would get off of work, she worked at the hospital. She was a lab technician. She would allow me to run an ad in the paper, and she would get me 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. She'd pick me up from school, and she would take me to yards, and I would cut yards, and she would sit in the van and read her book. She's an avid reader. She would sit there and read her book. And then when I turned 16, she pretty much gave me the keys to the van, and I was off to the races. And, you know, landscaping for me, Marty, it was never about money, even though I had money because I was making it. It wasn't about that. It just gave me, it made me feel good to be able to see something that I accomplished and all.
You know, as I listen to you, I'm trying not to patronize you, but I'm seeing why you and I, you're not just a client, you're a great friend. And we've shared our trials and tribulations for years now. But as I listen to you, the story it's very scary similar. My mom didn't have a van, but she answered her own personal phone, Grunder Lawn Service. And then someone would say, oh, I've got the wrong number. And she'd say, wait, is this Betty? Hang on. My son's business is growing. And we're answering the family. I mean, it's just so many funny things like that. You know, it's interesting. I believe you have a degree in landscape architecture from Georgia, the University of Georgia.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
And I know that. But like when I think of you, I don't think of you as a landscape architect. not that being a landscape architect is bad at all. I think of you as a businessman. Like you really, I mean, you and I have conversations about business. We're not, you know, I was at your house last year and I was admiring your landscape. So I can certainly tell that you've got a real talent for landscaping. Your degree's in landscape architecture. You're a businessman. My degree's in business. And Emily, my oldest daughter that works for the Grow Group, she says, Dad, I think you should have taken landscape architecture in school. You would have been like the world's greatest landscape architect with all your ideas. So it's sort of funny. But where did you get a passion for business? Was that just something you picked up on, or where did that come from?
So, yeah, I mean, when I got my degree in landscape architecture, it was just all of those years of cutting grass. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And then when I graduated, Misty and I were dating. We moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I got a job in Atlanta doing the same thing, landscaping world. And when we decided to move back home, I always knew I wanted to start my own business. But Marty, for me, being an entrepreneur was more of coming back here, doing the same thing that I was doing in middle school, running papers, cutting grass for neighbors. It was never about money and it never was about business. It was more about the thrill of landscape and making something look better. And that's probably one of the biggest lessons that I ever had as a young entrepreneur, because it was not a business. And it caught me with my pants down. I had about 13 people that were working at the company. We were doing a little over $800,000 a year in sales. And Marty, you could drive around to any property that we took care of, and people say, "Man, that's a Coastal Greenery yard. That's a Coastal Greenery yard." The problem was I had about 70. I remember coming in the office. It was in June. Misty was pregnant with our twin boys, and I had about $70,000 worth of bills to pay, including payroll. And I had about $800 in a checkbook.
Oh my gosh.
And to make a long story short, that happened to me two times during that summer. And I was seeing my dreams kind of come to a halt, to be honest with you. And anyway, I had to get on the fast track to learn how to operate a business, and pricing my work was foreign to me. I did not understand gross margins. I didn't understand how to recoup labor. I didn't understand how to allocate equipment, none of those things. And I sought out that help to figure that out. And that was a huge lesson for me of not understanding the business side of it.
Yep. No, I've been there. I remember our largest supplier, who is still a supplier of ours. I was 23 years old and I owed him $2,500, and I got a statement in the mail that said it was past due. So I started calling. His name's Ken. So I called their office. I asked for Ken. He didn't call me back. I called the next day. He didn't call me back. I called him back. Didn't call me back. I think at the end of the week, he finally calls me. He goes, "Yeah, Marty, it's Ken." I said, "Hey, Ken." I said, "I got a problem." He goes, "Well, what's your problem?" I said, "I owe you $2,500. He goes, "Yeah, I saw that." I said, "I'm past due." And he says, "Who cares?" I said, "Well, I do." He said, "Listen, I got a lot bigger problems to worry about than little Marty Grunder that owes me $2,500. Relax, young man. You're a good kid. Pay me when you can." And he hung the phone up. And similar to that situation that you have, we have these moments that we're in. You probably didn't realize what all that was teaching you, and today you do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, pricing out my work and being able to be paid very well for that work, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, right.
Making money is not a dirty word.
No, it's not.
And, you know, and understanding that component of it was a huge growth lesson for me. And I went through those pains and struggles. But I remember, Marty, I was doing $800,000 a year in sales. The following year, when I started learning this stuff little by little.
And when you say learning the numbers, learning how to bid work, learning all that, how cash to bid flow, it, all those things.
All that, hours versus budgeted hours, margins, all of those things. When I started crunching that and studying it and learning it, that second year, I remember I went down, I did $627,000 in revenue. But I made 1% nets that year.
Yeah.
And as crazy as that sounds, I know 1% is nothing sexy, but to me,
I started
learning how to make money at what
right.
I was doing.
Exactly.
And it was a huge eye-opener for me.
Where was the turning point? Because I know, where are your annual sales at now, Jeffrey?
We're north of 16 million.
Yeah, now. Which is amazing. Where was the big turning point when you started? Because I know, like for us, you know our story pretty well. We were stuck around 5 million. In the last 3 years, we've tripled the business. We'll be over 14 million this year. And it's like, I realized that I was the problem. I remember coming, we did the grow event at your place a few years ago. And I think it was it 16? We were there for grow. And I remember you had a station, because at grow, we have all the stations and one of them's the CEO station, and you were holding a bottle of water and you grabbed the neck of the water bottle and you said, I was the bottleneck here. You see that? I was the bottleneck. You realized that and got the shackles off and started growing. Where was your like aha moment with that? What got you propelled to grow?
Getting out of the way. And you know, Marty, what I learned is being an entrepreneur in the earlier years, and I don't sound conceited in any way, but the business revolved around me, or so I thought.
I get it.
That's what I thought. And I thought that it was my way or the highway, so to speak, that I had the last say in everything. And so when I tell you that I was a bottleneck, that's the way my brain thought. I thought in those terms. And so when I started realizing that I was the problem, not others on my team, and I lost some valuable people during those
right.
times.
Yep.
People weren't going to work for a dictator, you
right.
know?
Right.
And when I started working in those and realizing that, and I had to learn how to work on me. And so it was more then about developing processes for people to follow and for people to, you know, and giving metrics to those processes to let that individual know how well they're doing, how they improve, all these type things. When I started figuring that out, I think for me, it was probably a learning curve between 2016 and 2019. That was a 4-year period to going through that. And dude, I don't mind telling you, Marty, I think in 2019, we were a little over 5 million in revenue. And we've tripled our company in the latter 5 years as a result of that. And so it's not that I'm not valuable at the company. It just means I'm more of a servant leader now in what I do. So processes, systems, metrics for people, that's the key component.
And it's so awesome to listen to you. My story is the same. The Grow Show today, we've got Jeffrey Johns from Coastal Greenery. It's not about Marty, it's about Jeffrey today, but my story is the same. And as I'm listening to you, you know, praise God, we got the lesson when we were in our 50s and we didn't go to our grave staying down there. And, you know, it wasn't just growth for growth's sake, right? It was growth. You've got two of your boys there now. You've got, I know your team very, very well. You've got a lot of young people that are rolling, that want more to do. And you got to put wood in that fire. I mean, when there's a competitive fire going there and somebody wants more, you got to, you know, our mutual friend Mike Rory's told both of us, you know, the greatest way to grow a company is you've got so many good people, they're pushing you. And if you don't find an opportunity for them, they're going to leave. You have an outstanding team that you make investments in. I know you've had me down to work with them. You've had the StrengthsFinder people, Megan and Tracy, who we'll have on the Grow Show here in a future episode, to work with them. You've been developing them. Were there other key things that were a part of your business? I believe Aspire probably also played a role in your growth. You talk about metrics. You got to have that information to make decisions, right?
Exactly. And Marty, you don't want to overcomplicate it. For me, it was about not overcomplicating things. And, you know, systems for us, like if I'm an account manager, I think as an account manager here, we got 5 different systems that an account manager utilizes. He or she utilizes those 5 and he has 5 metrics that he looks at off that. And yes, Aspire, you know, is a big component of those metrics and the way that they calculate things. Aspire has been a huge and valuable to us. And technology in general has been valuable to us. So, you know, me at 56 years old, you know, learning things every day, learning new things and seeing the industry grow more automatic and being able to pursue things in that for our young team has been a game changer for us.
So you talk about how getting out of the way, are there still some legacy things that you still do that maybe you shouldn't be doing that you're struggling with? Or when you say get out of the way, like did you just get out of the way? Tell us a little bit about what a typical week looks like for Jeffrey now.
Yeah. So for me, Marty, today, if we look at today, 100% of my job description is coaching others. That's all I do. 100%. And what I mean by that is you don't see me with sales goals. I don't have a client base that I'm overseeing. I do meet with clients, but I don't have a direct relationship with them. But I have my team, and what I do here is I do coaching. I'm working about 60 to 65 hours a week right now.
Okay.
And I know that sounds a lot, and it is, but that's a typical week for me. And my week,
that's less than the 80 you used to do.
Oh yeah, huge. But I'm having fun doing it because I have my one-on-ones. I've got 7 direct reports that report to me. So I have one-on-ones with those 7 people throughout the week. Some of it is face-to-face, some of it's via Zoom because we have 3 locations. And then I do lead the leadership team. I've got a team of 8 people that is on the leadership team. I lead that meeting. And then after that, Marty, I have what I call one-off coaching moments. So if I've got an account manager that might be struggling in some capacity, if the branch leader tells me that in the one-on-one, then I might do some one-off coaching with that individual for a while. I'm spending about 20 to 25 hours a week prepping for my coaching.
Okay.
And then the remaining hours is actual FaceTime coaching people.
So when you say prepping, tell me what that means. What
are you doing? So if I'm leading a leadership meeting, I'm prepping, I'm looking at our financial metrics and numbers, gathering information. I'm reading notes from the week before one-on-one and gathering ideas and things that, and maybe some experience share that I experienced years ago so I can build a coaching session for that individual. So it's a lot of prep time. I'm spending 20, 25 hours a week prepping for all that.
Yeah, a lot. What we've talked a lot about your lessons from your failures and your setbacks. Are there any that maybe we didn't capture? I would be interested in knowing you and Misty have a wonderful relationship. You work together. You know me well, so you can laugh when I say this. I mean, I'm a complicated guy. I don't perceive you to be quite as complicated as I am. Lisa could never work here. I admire you so much for doing it. How have you made that work, for one? And I guess I'm also curious to know, do Joshua and Jacob report to you or do they report to someone else?
So
I gave you a lot there.
Yeah. So with Misty, mine and Misty's relationship, yes, we work together. And like I told you, she was a school teacher. And I don't know, after being in business 8-9 years, she had quit school teaching to raise the kids, raise the family. And she started helping me out with little things at the business just from home. And that kind of evolved into her leadership skills. Misty's leadership skills are totally opposite mine. Misty's certainly not a bottleneck, but she has a way to look at a process or a system and find a better way to do things. I don't. I'm the type of guy that would rather, like I told you, dictator. I mean, I'm the type of guy that sees something that ain't working and I'm going to hammer it out as hard as I can of why it ain't working, all this. When she's looking for the solution, I'm still living in the problem. And so we complement one another in those worlds. And so she has a written job description, Marty, and I have a written job description at this company that all of our team knows. They know exactly when to go to her for whatnot, and they know when to go to me for whatnot.
See, and that is such a simple but smart thing. The clarification of expectations, the fact that you're transparent with it. It is a family business, but the key word in family business is business. And we got to try to keep it that way. And my guess is that was an evolution, that you realized if you didn't have that, that could leave some openings for interpretation. It could cause a lot of problems in the organization, right?
That's right. And even leading into 2025, Marty, we're in our middle of our budget season and strategic planning season right now for next year. And Misty's job description and my job description are changing. And we didn't change it. Our team is changing it for us. They're changing what they need out of me and Misty leading into next year as we continue to, you know, we're planning on buckling over $20 million next year
in
revenue.
Right.
So they're changing what they need from me and Misty. So they're in the middle of writing those descriptions now. And I know about what they look like and what Misty's going to be doing and what I'm going to be doing. But our roles are going to change next year. She's going to be more of a mentor to certain people. And Misty's actually going to be more customer liaison to clients.
She's fabulous at that.
Yeah, she's great at that. So as far as my two sons, my one son, who's the controller, does report to dad. Me being the CEO of the company, my son, who's the controller, he is one of the people that reports to me. He and I get along pretty good. And I say pretty good because he's my son, but he's also our controller at our company. And he and I have a pretty good work relationship. He will not call me dad at work.
Right. Emily calls me Marty at work. In fact, some people listening right now, I've just blown her cover, but anyone that thinks Jacob or Joshua or Emily are at their companies because they're not talented are crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing with my boys. I didn't want them here. My team who knew them,
right?
They actually are the ones that was promoting them and moving them up. Not me.
Yeah.
And they earned their right at our company. But, you know, being a family oriented business, Marty, has its advantages. And I cannot quite tell you why it's worked so well for us other than everything that we all do, we have clear written expectations, clear written job descriptions. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows what's expected. We all have metrics that support that. And if we're not delivering, hey. Yeah.
We talk about this. You're in our legacy peer group. We talk about this all the time. The power of honesty, openness, and transparency. And I think what happens, Jeffrey, you know, you might be 40 when you figure it out. You could be 35. Sounds like me and you learned it a little bit later than that. But you start to realize that if you're going to grow a company, really, someone like yourself, you can't always be thinking like the owner, like the dictator. You got to be thinking like you're a member of a team. And I had a coach that I worked with a long time ago. His name was Jim Bleach. And he said, Marty, one day out of the month, you're an owner. And that's when you look at your financial performance. The other 30, 29, 28, 27, depends what month you're in, you're a member of a team. And you should be thinking about that a lot. And I remember when he told me that, I think I shared that lesson with our peer group. I remember when he told me that, I'm like, I'm a dictator, emphasis on the dick. I'm not fun to work with. What am I doing? Like, I'm making everything about me. And it was really an aha for me. And sounds like, did you have a feeling like that?
Me? Of course I did. I mean, even today, Marty, when I'm around my team and we walk into our leadership meeting, for instance, I am part of that leadership team. I'm not the guy in there facilitating it and all ears are on me. That's not the case. We all take turns being the leader in there. And I have to give my report to that team just like they're giving their report to each other. So, you know, that's hard for some entrepreneurs, especially that's been in the business for quite some time as you and I. And I'm having a huge amount of fun right now in my team. And I do have a very young team. And I don't necessarily mean an age. It's just young at what
experience.
We're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Experience and all, but my goodness, at the hunger that they have for that learning, and that is one of the reasons our team is doing so well. I've learned over the years we don't have to be perfect and so knowledgeable in everything that we're doing. We just can't lose. I can't lose that hunger. The day that I lose that drive and that hunger is probably the day that I very well may hang my workloads up.
I'm gonna I believe it or not, you probably can relate. I watch all the grow shows on YouTube and I take notes and I learn and I get better. I know when I'm watching this next month or whenever we have it come out, I'm going to love what you just said there, because that's just leadership gold there. I mean, it's about being aware. What you're talking about is emotional intelligence and being aware that it's not about me. And I feel like you do. I'm having so much fun. I feel so grateful that at 56, we're growing and I'm needed, but I'm overstating my value if I think I got to be in here every day. Like, it's good to be away. It's good to let young people make decisions. It's good not to go to those branches every week and check in on them. Let them make their mistakes and go forward. And they have to report on a metric. I mean, I can totally see how you're doing all that.
Yeah. And everything that we do, Marty, I try to be a solution-based company. You know, I don't want to be a problem-based company. I want to be a solution-based company. And one of the things I teach the team is that, you know, problems are going to come our way every day and whatever it is. I mean, it just is. They're going to happen. But the team, they're so hungry in what they're doing that as long as we're balancing out our vision, mission, and core values, and we're utilizing those core values, I've got their back on that decision. And I very well may have made a different decision on something. I could have, but as long as they can support that with that core values that we have in place, hey, I'm with it 100%.
So if they use the core the vision, the mission, and the core values as a filter through which to run a decision, you're good.
I am good.
That's 100%. What they're there for. What you just said there is perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
You came to your first grow 30 years ago. You send your teams to grow. I mean, haven't you gotten enough out? Why do you keep coming back? Aren't you smart enough?
Absolutely not. Like I say, Mark, learning, you know, our industry, I mean, back in the day when I started this business, like I told you, when Misty and I was married and I said, man, I want to start up my own business, Coastal Greenery. She's got my back in everything that I've ever did. It was never about money for she and I. It never was. She and I didn't really come from a lot, and it wasn't about that. It was just about being happy. And you fast forward through all these years and today and seeing our industry evolve the way that it has. And I mean, my goodness, man, I'm learning more today than I was back then. And it's a different learning experience, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I see a lot of young generation coming up, and I'm seeing kids come in our industry that has zero background in landscaping and zero background in business from other industries. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we prefer to hire our number one. We don't care if you have experience in landscaping or not, because we feel we're looking for a good attitude and you come in here and make a difference. I admire you. You have made a lot of trips to Dayton, Ohio to attend our events, to come in here. You've flown all over the country to our grow events, to our peer group events, and you've been a terrific mentor to countless clients of ours. You know, you're a very relatable guy. You got a great business, and I'm very grateful for everything that you've done. As we close this up, is there any advice that you would give the 25-year-old version of yourself or the fifth year in business version of yourself? What would you tell men and women that are listening to us today in their business? What would be your leadership or your business wisdom you would share?
If I was talking to myself back then,
yeah,
business is about the people that I'm working with on a day-to-day basis. It's not about making sure that plant is in the right spot. It's not about making sure that stripe is perfect in that lawn. It's about the people in my organization. And Marty, I have no doubt, and I wouldn't change a thing in my learning curve, but I have no doubt that if I had learned that lesson way back when, that it's about the people, and I started creating better opportunity for people and looked at it from that angle, my business would not be a $16, $20 million business now. It would be much bigger than
that. Yeah, it'd be $50 million.
Yeah. And so that's the only thing I can say. Our business evolves around relationships. I mean, and that's relationships with your team, your vendors, your clients.
Right.
And any system, any process that you put in play or that I put in play at my organization, has to revolve around relationships. That's the key to it right there. All the other stuff, how to read a P&L statement, how to price your work, how to do that, that stuff just happens automatic. That comes about. It's the relationships with people that's been the key to our organization. And so I wish I'd learned that a long time ago.
Well, you've learned it. You've taught me a lot. Every time I see you, I smile. My wife's all-time favorite story was when you were in our kitchen at having dinner after one of our events, and you told us the story of wrestling an alligator. I still remember laughing. I'm so proud to call you a friend and a client, Jeffrey. Thanks for being on the Grow Show this week. We'll see you in Columbus at Grow, right?
Thanks, Mark. Yes, sir. We'll be there as usual.
Yes. Well, that's going to do it this week for the Grow Show, folks, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with a friend, a team member, or any landscape pro you know. All right? Thanks for joining us on the Grow Show this week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.